for Friday. We said goodbye to our AFES mission team, and today, as you know, we're saying goodbye to our good friends, the Colons. But here, in the first chapter of Luke, God is just getting started with his new covenant, the new arrangement that he's putting in place for the salvation of his people. In this series, we are looking at the birth of Jesus and what it means for us, what it means for all of God's people. As we said last week, it's that time of year where we focus on the arrival of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. He's coming into this world. So today we're going to continue in looking at the birth of the first of these two miracle babies we've been hearing about. The first one is John. The scene is set in the hill country of Judea. A child is about to be born, and he's no ordinary child. It's come time for Elizabeth, who is quite an elderly lady, to give birth to her first child. Now, she's been barren for many years, but now the Lord has blessed her and her husband Zechariah with a child of their own. It's a very significant moment, not only for them as a couple, but for all of God's people. As we said last week, it was a blessing of a very old woman that saw the very start of God's promises to his people with Abraham. You might remember that Sarah was barren, and she conceived and gave birth to Isaac. It's a very old lady herself. So the baby is born. One of the first things to be done is to name the child. So these guys, you know, they didn't have to thumb through a book of names and all the meanings like a lot of people do these days. Endlessly poring over, looking for a suitable name for their child. They didn't have to do that because God has already told them what to call him. It's no ordinary situation. You don't often have God telling you what to call your child. But this is just the start of the fact that he is no ordinary child. Everyone is gearing up to name him after his father. See all the community are gathering on the eighth day. They know Zechariah and Elizabeth really well. They're family, close friends, neighbours. They're all gearing up to name him after his father. The guy who hasn't been able to say anything for about 9 months because he didn't initially believe God's promise to him and his wife. But Zechariah has had 9 months quietly contemplating his level of faith and trust in God. And now that God has been true to his word, and here they are holding a baby boy in their arms, he has a son of his very own, it's like he's had a bit of a change of heart. In fact, the whole community are very pleased with how God has blessed this elderly couple who live in their midst. But they're not quite prepared. This whole family group, they're not quite prepared for what comes next. So verse 57, there when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. They're all rejoicing at this. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. And they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. And as if to be unsatisfied with what Elizabeth said, then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. See, this is no ordinary naming of a child. That the whole family and friend group were expecting to name him after his father. That's what they did back then. That's what many people still do today. number of us will have names of our fathers or grandfathers somewhere that even as a middle name. But John, you know, is what this baby is to be called, following the instructions from the angel. There's a picture here of the family gathered around the baby. This isn't the actual photo of John the Baptist. But the idea of naming him John is so foreign to the neighbours and family. They don't go, oh, Elizabeth, that's lovely. It's a lovely name you've chosen. They instead go to Zechariah and go, are you sure? Is that really what you want to call him? To their astonishment, when they ask him, he also says his name is John. And as he does that, at that moment, his tongue is freed up after having been struck mute for 9 months. Zechariah can speak again. Now, 2 points to think about here as we see this part of the story unfolding. Zechariah has had plenty of time to think on his initial unbelief that God's blessing him is quiet. And some of us might think it'd be good, at least for a few days, to have your married partner unable to speak. There's a few days of quiet around the house. But for 9 months, Zechariah has been mute. It's a big deal for a priest who is meant to be ministering to people in God's temple. That's what he means, but he's a priest. As a minister, I know there's not a lot you can do in ministry without speaking. If you can't speak to people, that makes the task of ministry very difficult indeed. So rather than, you know, curse God or complain about his situation for the last 9 months, as soon as he's able to open his mouth, Zechariah is praising God. He's come to see just how merciful and wonderful the Lord has been to him. Not only for him and his wife as a couple in their old age, but for all of God's people. And like Mary does, he now sings. He begins singing about how good it is that God has blessed him in this way. And the second thing to note there is that with John's birth, we're seeing a lot of changes coming into play. Not only is naming, the way that he's named, you know, breaking with tradition, if you like, something different. The naming of him as John is just a taste of all the new things that this boy is going to bring to the nation. Because it's not just his name that's going to break from all the norms and traditions that the people are used to. John is going to be like a bridge between the old and the new. Particularly that link between the Old Testament, the old covenant that God has made with his people, as they now press towards a new arrangement, if you like, the new covenant, where God will bring salvation to his people through the forgiveness of their sins. Something new is afoot here, and people are wondering what it's all going to be about. Who is this boy going to be? That's what they're thinking throughout the hill country. So Zechariah begins to speak. The first time in 9 months, he begins to reveal God's plan as the Holy Spirit comes on him in power. And God's plan all revolves around these two miracle babies. Look again at what it says there, verse 62. They made signs to his father to find out what he would write to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, a motion for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to do? For the Lord's hand was with him. Everyone is gobsmacked by what is going on with this boy child. And just as Mary wondered about what kind of greeting she was about to have with the angel Gabriel, so also now the whole hill country of Judea is abuzz, wondering about who this boy will turn out to be. It's obvious to them from the very start that God is with this child. The hand of God is upon him, and the people know him. He's no ordinary child. Take a quick look at the very end of the chapter, verse 8. It says there, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly in Israel. It took him as a grown man, basically. Now, they talk about how sometimes the preacher's kids can be a bit wild. But this boy is living in the Judean wilderness. Think about that for a minute. A dry, inhospitable, stony place, sometimes described as a wilderness, sometimes described as a desert. This is where he's growing up. Now, Dad is in the priesthood, and he's obviously staying pretty close to the temple, the synagogue, ministering to people. And yet here's John, the son, out in the wilderness. But that's not going to stop him from being God's spokesperson. Far from it, in fact. According to his father, Zechariah, God has a very special plan for this boy. Everything is going to change from now on because of him. And so we come to Zechariah's song, which seems to answer, partly, this question that people had. Who will John be? Who will this child be? So the Holy Spirit fills Zechariah, and he begins to speak boldly now of God's plans for his people, all the while showing what part John is going to play in his life. God remembering his promises, he says. He's remembering his promises to his people from throughout Scripture. Now, God remembering means that God is about to act in a situation. Whenever you read in the Old Testament that God has remembered something, it means that he's about to act. God is remembering his words to David, his promises there. He's remembering his holy covenant with Abraham. Zechariah is drawing his picture of God. He's drawing all the Old Testament, all that's gone before. And he's saying that this is now, in a sense, putting a spotlight on these two things in history. This boy John and another one who is still on the way are going to be very significant. It's like the whole of Israel history is focusing now on these two individuals. Because of his great mercy, God is going to bring forth now a special rescue plan. And these two are smack in the middle of it. John's part of the plan is one of preparation. He's going to get things in order, if you like. And even though he's out in the desert wilderness, not there with Dad ministering to the temple courts, he's still very much a man of God. In fact, according to Zechariah, his father, John will be a very great prophet. You might have noticed that in verse 76, that James 3 verses a bit earlier, he says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Zechariah at that point is quoting the Old Testament, the words of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah has forecast many hundreds of years before this that there would be a voice calling out in the wilderness to make a highway for God to come to his people. John will be that voice in the wilderness, preparing a highway for God to come to his people. Very importantly, he will give people the knowledge of how they're going to be saved. And it's going to come through the forgiveness of their sins. People are going to be saved by having their sins forgiven, their sins wiped out, their slate wiped clean, bringing people into a relationship with God, a relationship of peace. But lastly, we want to notice this boy John is paving the way for that relationship to kick off, to really be renewed. A great rekindling, if you like, of a personal relationship with each and every one of God's people with God himself. The Lord is coming to his people. And so this last part of Zechariah's song reveals God's great love and mercy and compassion for all his people. He's going to return on this way, this highway that John is preparing. It's going to be like a light shining in a dark place. People who are living with death, just, you know, looming over their shoulder, are going to bask in this light and be shown the way of salvation. And our feet, says Zechariah, will be guided along this pathway of peace. This work that John will do is only because God loves us so much. That's what's enabling that. Verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those green gardens and in the earth, to guide our feet into the path of peace. See, John's not introducing to us a new philosophy of life here, a code to live by, or a string of commands that we have to obey. This is something new. John is going to be like a bridge between the old and the new, as we've said before. He's preparing the way for us to have a relationship with God, a relationship with the Holy One of Israel. It's like a light is shining in the dark so that we can see the pathway to salvation. It's going to help us see clearly so that our feet will be guided along a safe, secure path that will lead us to an enduring relationship with God. Now, it's worth asking you a question this morning. How is your relationship going with God's Son? You see, this is what the New Testament is all about. That the New Covenant is all about a relationship that we have with Jesus. So if you boil the Christian life down to following a set of rules and guidelines, you've missed the point. See, being a Christian is about having a relationship with Jesus. He is our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Between himself and John the Baptist, they're like the masterminds, if you like, of our salvation plan, our rescue. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Jesus coming to earth as a newborn and living among us. We're going to celebrate that he's shining a light that guides our feet into the path of peace and leading us to the salvation that we can have through the forgiveness of our sins. Let's pray for the remainder of that. Dear Lord, our Father, we thank you that you enabled Elizabeth to conceive and give birth to a baby boy, John, even in her old age. We thank you that he did grow up, or that he did grow up and prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. We thank you that your Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, that she conceived and gave birth to Jesus, who over the course of his life died in our place so that our sins might be forgiven. Lord, please help us to live our lives in a way that honours you, that we might give our life to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Help us to live for him and the things that we have. And Lord, please look upon us favourably as your people. Bless us this week as we prepare for our Christmas celebrations with family and friends. Help us to share this good news with Jesus, so that your gospel might work in their hearts as well. And Lord, we pray that they